Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today, we continue to have some very interesting readings thus far this week has given us. And again, today we read from the first book of Samuel, but this time chapter 3. Because when Hannah had her child, she brought him to the temple and dedicated him to the Lord. Great sacrifice, but she offered him to the Lord. So chapter 3 begins this. During the time young Samuel was ministered to the Lord under Eli, so he's brought to the temple and he's there to learn how to minister in the court of the Lord. He's taught there by Eli. A revelation of the Lord was uncommon and vision infrequent. So one day, Eli was asleep in his usual place. His eyes had lately grown so weak that he could not see. The lamp of God was not yet extinguished, and Samuel was sleeping in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. The Lord called to Samuel. So Samuel hears his name, and he answers, "Here I am." So he got up, thinking it was Eli. Who else would speak to him? So Samuel ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "I did not call you," Eli said. "Go back to sleep." So he went back to sleep. Again the Lord called Samuel, who rose and went to Eli. "Here I am," he said, "you called me." But Eli answered, "I did not call you, my son. Go back to sleep." At that time, Samuel was not familiar with the Lord because the Lord had not revealed anything to him as yet. The Lord called Samuel again for the third time. Getting up and going to Eli, he said, "Here I am, you called me." And then Eli understood that the Lord was calling the youth. So Eli said to Samuel, "Go to sleep, and if you are called, reply, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" In other words, this is what you're to say if you hear your name being called again. Say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." When Samuel went to sleep in his place, the Lord came and revealed his presence, calling out as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant is listening." So here's a boy, young man, very favored by God, and he's learning what to do about it. You don't go around saying, "Oh, well, God spoke to me, and God said this, and God said that." No, he's very, very quiet about it. He speaks to Eli about it, and he learns how to distinguish the Lord's voice from many, many other voices. We, too, need to learn how to distinguish the Lord's voice from many other voices. The Lord's voice always brings peace, confidence, hope. Might be a challenge, but there's always hope. Samuel grew up, and the Lord was with him, not permitting any word of his to be without effect. Can you imagine? Not permitting any word of his to be without effect. He heard what the Lord told him. He gave that word to whoever he was supposed to give it to, and no word of his was without effect. Thus all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, came to know that Samuel was an accredited prophet of the Lord. Think back now. Remember what we read yesterday? Remember how Hannah was, in a certain way, verbally accosted by the high priest, calling her a drunkard, etc. And she didn't respond to that. She didn't respond in kind. She didn't react. She did respond. She responded by very simply explaining what was going on. She received Eli's blessing, and look at the son. We don't know, brothers and sisters, many times. We think of certain encounters as being small, and I don't mean that every encounter is momentous. That's not the point I'm trying to make. But as we listen to the Lord, as we listen to one another, often in many of those conversations, depending on what we're doing, God wants to reveal something to us, either that he wants us to do or that he wants us to understand about his relationship with us, or he wants us to deal with a particular truth that seems to be under fire in our country. God often wants to speak to us, but we're so busy. And as I said yesterday, we're so much living in the future or the past and not in the present moment. Lord wants us to learn how to live, as one of the saints said, the sacrament of the present moment. Called it a sacrament because that's where God is present. That's where you meet him, in the present moment. Psalm 40, here am I, Lord, I come to do your will. It's a marvelous responsorial psalm for verse 40. I've waited for the Lord. He stooped toward me and heard my cry. Bless the man who makes the Lord his trust, who turns not to idolatry, nor to those who stray after falsehood. Do you stray sometimes after falsehood? Do you make idols out of things or out of people? In other words, do you look to them to be the answer for all your needs? Only God holds that position. Second part of that psalm says, sacrifice or oblation you wish not. In other words, you don't want me to spend hours offering all kinds of animal sacrifices or gifts to you, but ears open to obedience you gave me. Burnt offerings or sin offerings you sought not. Then said I, behold, I come. See, to do God's will should be our greatest delight. And most of the time we think of God's will as something very hard that we have to grit our teeth and steel ourselves. I'm not saying there aren't hardships. I'm not saying that God doesn't bless us when we, as long as we obey him, he blesses us. But I think God wants us to know the depth of his presence with us and his love for us when we say, Lord, I want your will over mine. I entrust myself to you. I want your will more than I want my own. Really, really, brothers and sisters, make this part of the psalm, make it a daily prayer for a while. In the written scroll, it is prescribed for me to do your will, O my God, is my delight. And your law is within my heart. In other words, it's not a set of rules, but it's in my heart. It's the way I want to express my love for you, by being obedient to the commandments. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 29 to 39, on leaving the synagogue, Jesus entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Simon's mother-in-law lay sick with a fever. They immediately told him about her. He approached, grasped her hand, and helped her up. And then the fever left her, and she waited on them. Notice she didn't say, oh, I've got to rest some more. She was well. She knew she was well. And she got up and waited. She served them. How quick are we to put ourselves aside when such a wonderful gift has been given us? We're healed. Do you use the strength of that healing to reach out to help others? Sometimes in seemingly small and insignificant ways, but they're not small to God. When it was evening, after sunset, they brought to him all who were ill or possessed by demons. The whole town was gathered at the door. You can imagine the noise and the tumult, can't you? He cured many who were sick with various diseases. He drove out many demons, not permitting them to speak because they knew him. Remember what I told you just the other day? It says here, not permitting them to speak because they knew him. Because if he lets them say the truth about who he is, then people will begin to look to that person and listen to what else that person says. But what that person is saying, if there's a demon in them, what that person is saying is a web of lies. There's an occasional line of truth. And sometimes he will say, well, that's truth. I ought to pay attention to it. Don't. Anyone who does not believe in God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, don't listen. Even when we do, sometimes we can be besieged by the enemy. Pay attention. Get those eyes and ears open. Pay attention to the people you should, whether they're people in public office, whether they're people in your family, whether they're people in your workplace. Discern. You don't have to reject them or run away from them, but don't take what they say as truth. Don't follow it. Rising very early before dawn, he left and went up to a deserted place where he prayed. Simon and those who were with him pursued him, and on finding him said, "Everyone is looking for you." He told them, "Let us go on to the nearby villages that I may preach there also. For this purpose have I come." So he went into their synagogues, preaching and driving out demons through the whole of Galilee. Through the whole of Galilee. He's casting out evil. We need to cast it out of our own lives. Where do I accept half-truths? Where do I fudge on the truth? Where do I enjoy people that I know are leading me astray? I can make all kinds of excuses, but that's not going to change the reality. I don't want you to get paranoid about it, but the enemy always tries to take us down. Always does. That's why often during the day, brothers and sisters, I try to say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Lord, I come to do your will. Your will is my delight. Your will is my hope. I love your will because it's you. I want to follow you all the days of my life." And those kinds of things, it's in a certain way, you preach to yourself, which is very good. You tell yourself the truth. You're asking God for this or that. But you really are declaring what the truth is. "Lord, I come to do your will. Lord, I want your way, not mine. Lord, I'd like to go in this direction, but I don't know. There's some things that are questionable." And sometimes people see things that are questionable and they plunge in anyway, much to regret and sorrow. Bad deals. Gambling. Drinking. Etc., etc., etc. We make all kinds of dumb decisions. If you get yourself into the habit of saying every day, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening," or "Lord, I come to do your will. Your will, O God, is my delight," or "at least I want it to be my delight." However you can say that, however you can pray that honestly, do. And you will be amazed at how God is able to draw closer to you because you invite him. You invite him. He waits to be invited. Could ask yourself this question, lastly. Here I am, Lord, I come to do your will. Answer this question for yourself. What is the purpose of your life? First of all, it should be to give God honor and glory by all I think, say, and do. And then you can look at the earthly goals, the human goals. They're all a piece of the same fabric. But start with God. Do I really want God's will? Do I really want to follow him? Do I want my life to give him praise? Then I've got to begin to make some decisions so that that can be affected in my life. May God give you wisdom and insight and courage. God bless you. As we prepare for this year of mercy, which will begin this December, I want to make available to you a free copy of my booklet, Captured by Mercy. I'm going to be speaking on this program a great deal about the true meaning of mercy, but I'd like you to have a free copy of my booklet now, Captured by Mercy. You can receive it simply by calling this number, 1-800-282-4789.